Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to the elders past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Have you noticed, Tom, that we've actually received a lot more Patreon
subscribers? Yeah, it's really lovely. We've had a huge influx of Patreon subscribers. So to everyone who is subscribing,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for subscribing. It costs a lot of money to put these podcasts on. We've got to rent studios. We've got to get here. We've got to buy cheap red wine.
Yeah.
And it also means we can do live shows, which we are soon going to be announcing.
Ooh,
a couple of different
another
cities.
Live show.
Melbourne and a couple other cities, which I'm very excited about. So thank you so much giving us your dollars.
Dollar bills.
And now we're going to talk about what we're here to talk about.
Beautiful Brendy and Lenny.
As yes.
Well. Thank you.
So as I was saying before, one of your recent episodes, you guys were talking about allies for the gay community, yep. Which is so interesting. So I thought we'd flip it and talk about the nasty asshole people who are homophobes and some of the celebrities.
It's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of mean people out there. A lot of rappers I've noticed.
Yeah.
One of the biggest ones for me, which I can't get my head around, is Azealia Banks. And the gays love her. And she is constantly like playing up and saying terrible, awful things. I think she punched like a gay flight attendant on a plane, and she uses.
Well, to be fair, I've flown jets.
Look,
I think she tries really hard to be controversial.
Yeah, right.
I know she said
a
lot of stuff about Perez Hilton, but he's an asshole, so I don't care too much. And I think she was just trying to insult
him. I don't care about
him.
Anyone who's attacking Perez.
But I think that's her thing.
Yeah,
being
wasn't
controversial.
She like bisexual?
But
or something?
Everyone's like, she used to identify as bisexual, but I mean,
that
doesn't give her
you.
A right.
Yeah, you can't just.
Yeah, I'm not sure that she still identifies that way, and she doesn't. Yeah, she says a lot of shock.
Yeah,
tactics.
I was very surprised
drum
to hear
up,
I'm not very
publicity
in touch with my modern icons or pop stars.
Yeah, but like I get mad
a bit
when
it has been though.
Yeah, she's like trying so hard to be
relevant to come back.
And then,
but I was very interested to hear that because so many guys like her. And also, I heard Cardi B as well. I don't know a lot about Cardi B.
I heard something about her fiance.
Yeah, but then she was defending.
And then she was defending him, saying that they like as gay people, we should educate them so that they know.
And they were saying that they didn't know that they couldn't use the word queer in a negative term.
How
sort of
lame.
Stuff. And I was also surprised by that
you
one because she has a pretty big gay following, doesn't she?
Yeah. But yeah, I always get really mad when I hear Azealia Banks like 212 come on at door. I'm like, no, I refuse
I know,
to dance to this,
so
even
good.
Though I like it, but I won't. And then I storm out and then I come back after the song's ended. That's how
you got
I
principles.
another one, a big one, which I think is so fucking stupid. Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
I was like, isn't this
on
so
the
weird?
Ellen show.
Yeah, on the Ellen show, and she's so weird about like a traditional marriage. I'm like,
yeah,
you are a trans
me off
person.
As well,
what is happening here? How can you not? How
long ago was this though? I think
a little while ago, maybe.
Yeah, I think she might have come back.
Came out as it was. On, I remember on the Ellen show, and Ellen kind of, in her way, was like, "Oh, that's like hypocritical," but she didn't push too hard with it.
Caitlin's
I'm just a
really,
Republican, so these are my values.
Caitlin's a really interesting one because she comes from a very privileged place, and so has not had a lot of the struggles that a lot of people in the trans community have had to do. Not saying that she's had it easy, but a lot of the struggles of you know finding a job and being able to afford to transition and being able to afford the medication and all that, and having a safe space to do it in is not something that she's had to go through. So her perception of the LGBTI community yeah. as a community is very different to a lot of other trans people. But I do feel like she has educated herself a bit more since transitioning and that sort of stuff. I think she has sort of shown that she has learned a bit more, which is exciting.
I don't really follow the rest of the Kardashians. Are they pretty like for the gays? I know like Kim has like a best friend who's gay, but that doesn't really mean
anything. But he's not gay.
Oh, he's not? Oh, the guy that does her makeup, he's not.
Oh, no, no. I was thinking of Jonathan because I found this out on a podcast.
Well, I don't know. The guy that's
Oh, Dear Podcast.
Yeah.
that he's not gay, but I always thought he was gay as well. The food god?
Yeah, I think
He's a different person that you're talking about. Right. But I think they've been pretty supportive. Like
Kim's actually, from what I read, Kim was actually the first and only family member that was very, very accepting
of
her transition. Yes. Because Kanye apparently educated her.
Now, Kanye's not someone that I would think would be very accepting.
Well, he used to be, I think, kind of homophobic as well. Yeah, but then he met gay people and
educated himself.
Fantastic.
That's what we want.
I feel made friends with people and was like, there's people that have had totally different experiences, growing up differently. Mm. Like you said, with the rappers, it's very common, but it's like a different, it's a different culture and a different world that they've grown up in. And it doesn't mean that they can't realize. Yeah, it's redeemable.
And I think that's an important thing to remember because in this modern day of cancel culture, which is in some ways incredibly important, if someone does repent and does try and educate themselves and learns that they were wrong and then tries to take steps to make it better again, I feel like it's really important that we let them do that because I think somebody with that much notoriety that can come out and say, oh, I used to think this and I realized I was wrong and here's why, and admit that is so important for our movement, and because it gives other people real people in the world the mindset that they can do it as well and they don't have to stick with one team that they've put their name to.
And there's a difference between being hateful and then just using words and not really realizing the implication that's just how you've grown up and that's normal. And
one of the interesting ones, and look, I'm very old school and I do apologize that I'm referencing something that is so old fashioned, is Sam Newman and The Footy Show. Background on this is the Footy Show was once, it ran for 25 years. It's just been cancelled now in 2019. Okay. So it's been running since 1994 and was once the pinnacle of Australian television. The families would all gather around to watch it and it was incredibly homophobic.
Like,
I remember watching it as a kid. Like the family would sit down and watch it and everyone would laugh at these
sexist, homophobic, racist shit.
And what I find really interesting about this as an example is because it's been running for 25 years, and so Sam Newman was sort of the larrikin of the show.
Yeah.
And he would go out and interview people in security, and it was actually like, when you look back at it now, you realize he was being homophobic, sexist, and racist to these people on the street, but also quite often making fun of people with mental disabilities on the street, people with drug addictions.
Sounds like a lovely guy.
Yeah.
But what is interesting about that, the show didn't change for 25 years, but society did.
Yeah.
And so these things that used to make him the legend of Australian television and one of the highest paid people in Australian television started getting him in trouble in the noughties, and then through to 2019 where the show got cancelled. Examples of it are him, the American footballer, Michael Sam, was drafted, and there was footage of when it was announced him kissing his boyfriend. And so Sam Newman went on this massive rant about no straight man would ever do that. You know, they're rubbing it in our face and that sort of shit. And it's like, I'm sure they would. Yeah. They would hug and kiss their girlfriend if they got drafted. When Caitlyn Jenner thing, he kept referring to her as it and saying, I don't know what it is. What do I call it? When the whole, there was footballers coming out in support, and these are only the recent ones, when footballers coming out in support of the Yes campaign for marriage equality.
Yes.
He was referring to them as psychopaths by trying to involve it in the game of footy. He did blackface in 99.
They used to always dress up as women for this really
sounds like the most offensive thing I could.
Yeah, but interestingly, it wasn't for the first 10 years that it existed.
Thank God we've evolved.
And,
and
it sort of shows what's okay to do and what's not okay now.
I'm glad you brought him up. I totally forgot about it, which is good.
It's great.
One of the funny ones I read, just because it's so ridiculous, was Charlie Sheen. He was like, he was hosting a party in Mexico and he like yelled into the crowd, how are we doing, lying bunch of faggot assholes, how are we doing?
Oh.
And then he later claimed that he didn't mean any harm and it was because of a lisp. He meant to say maggots as well. Apparently what he
said faggots instead of maggots because of a lisp.
A lisp.
That's a very specific lisp.
I was like,
lisp.
Oh, Charlie. Oh.
He never had a lisp on tour.
Yeah.
No. He just maybe never pronounced
it. He never had talent either.
Another one that I was very sad when it happened was Kramer from Seinfeld. Remember when he went on that racist, homophobic rant against some people? He was doing a live set at a comedy club.
That's not funny.
And went on a very bizarre, very racist, very homophobic rant at some audience members, which was filmed and went viral.
Mm.
And that was sad because I grew up with Seinfeld and I always loved Seinfeld. Yeah. And I would always hoped that there would be a reunion.
I like it when people do clap back and people do lose their jobs because of it. And you feel like there is some good in the world that like they are being put in their place.
Yes, absolutely.
Like I think there there was that actor, Isaiah Johnson from Grey's Anatomy.
Isaiah Washington.
Washington Johnson. Yes. I don't know. Isaiah Washington. Yeah, him. George. Sorry. Yes. And then he called someone, like, I think a gay slur. And then he did it again at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, right. He actually outed one of his cast members.
Right. Oh, and then they never renewed his contract.
Yeah. Grey's Anatomy. Just fantastic. So, yeah. And that's, I think, I guess what I'm saying is, like, when we look at these examples of stuff happening, I'm so glad that we now are able to end their careers or stop giving them the platform they have.
And they can't.
I won't go bang on about Barry Humphries again because I've done it a million times before. But Barry Humphries is another really good example of that happening. You know, he's just really lost a lot of the notoriety. Respect. And then, you know, it's a shame, but if he's not going to educate himself and receive that feedback from people, and same Sam Newman, like, how amazing would it be if Sam Newman now went away and went and met with people and then came out and said, hey, I just want to officially apologize for all of this shit that I said. I would have a lot more respect for him if he did that, then just double down and kept saying
it. Never going to happen with him.
Yeah. No, it won't.
I find it weird, like, when I was doing reading about this, I noticed a lot of people who used to identify as bisexual coming out and, like, hating on gay people.
Really?
Like, is this, like, a weird form of, like... Well, I mean, Azealia Banks is she used to identify. And then Tila Tequila, who's just a train wreck of a human being. But she was on a bisexual dating show. Famously a flat earther.
What did she say?
She hates trans people, I think was saying. And then she was saying that they're describing that they have a mental disability.
Right.
And then she had a lot to say about the bathrooms that they should use.
Yep. Anyone that's part of the LGBTI community, well, the
LGBT community,
having a go at the T community, I have no time for
Whatsoever. Absolutely not.
Yeah, no, for me, one of the ones that I wanted to talk about was the gossip columnist Hedda Hopper.
Hedda Hopper.
Who, if anybody watched Ryan Murphy's miniseries Feud about Betty Davis and Joan Crawford, Hedda Hopper is portrayed by Judy Davis excellently. So she was one of the leading gossip columnists in Hollywood from the late 1920s up until about the mid 1960s. She had all the dirt on everybody and she could literally make a career or break it, and she outed so many different celebrities that, and ruined their careers from the 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s. And I just sort of thought how tragic that was.
Yeah.
Because there were incredible actors and actresses.
That, and she was using that platform to,
And she would use her, what would you say, notoriety or a platform to a degree of bribing these celebrities as well. That if, you know, they didn't
if they didn't interview
this,
or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If they didn't interview or if they didn't give the dirt about this other celebrity, well, then she'll out them. Or
that's terrible.
It's heinous. Mm. Oh. Absolutely heinous. But it's also the society of that time too.
Yeah, so that was a much more subversive way of doing it. Whereas now it's sort of people using offensive words in raps or in interviews or on red carpets. Yeah.
I have one, Mel Gibson and Howard Stern.
Oh, yes.
Doesn't Mel Gibson have a gay brother?
Oh, probably. But he's also like, you know, sexist racist.
Yeah,
he's just got a lot of problems. He's just angry.
He's got a lot going on.
This theme of them being so angry that they have to, like,
angry rich
everyone,
white
like,
man. But also he's got that added element of religion as well,
religion,
which is just
alcohol abuse. You know, he blames alcohol or whatever.
Yeah.
Howard Stern, do you know who that
is? I don't know who that is.
It's the shock jock from the 90s. He said that he could turn a lesbian. Like, he had this whole
people say that.
Yeah, like, he was always being really sexual and he'd have, I think, like, porn stars on the show and make really inappropriate jokes. And then he also said that gay men love being tortured and abused.
Sometimes.
Yes, but then I thought one that was, Paris Hilton.
Oh,
yes,
she said something really bad.
Really?
Good old Paris. You wouldn't think.
Yep, she had a
In 2012, comment. I mean, I wasn't sure if this was hearsay, but it was recorded that she said, she was heard as saying, I mean, I haven't heard it, but it said that gay guys are disgusting and most of them probably have AIDS.
Oh my God.
So that's really cool.
I do remember that. Yeah.
I didn't know.
Oh, that's really disappointing, isn't it?
There's also Blake Shelton, that country singer. He's like a judge on The Voice or something. I think he's married to Gwen Stefani.
Yes.
He had some like pretty homophobic tweets from back in like 2012.
Oh yeah, the tweets.
Tweets. They always get you with the tweets. People love to tweet homophobic shit. He said, grown men who wear Chuck Taylors may as well write on their forehead, cucumbers turn me on.
Yeah, right.
What?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It's so fucking weird. And he had another one. He said, question for my gay followers, are Skittles y'all's favorite candy? And then he said, standing in line at a coffee shop in LA, talking with a man in front of me, he orders a skinny caramel latte. I couldn't tell he was gay.
Aww.
I mean, that's just a shit joke.
It's like, just
that's,
it's like yeah, he's really just bad. Equating, yeah, like...
Yeah, a Skittles
Gwen Stefani,
favorite.
You can do so much oh, better.
You're
why
gay,
are you
so you're
him?
Not masculine.
Yeah. I literally just got the Skittles bit.
Oh, because it's rainbow, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Like, it's just a really shit joke. Yeah. It's not, I don't even rate it as homophobic because it's so shit.
Yeah.
I don't like to assume anybody's sexuality if they haven't personally come out, but there's pretty good evidence that Alan Jones, the radio host...
Alan
Jones. In Sydney... But is also incredibly conservative and was incredibly aggressive with the safe schools thing and that sort of stuff. Surprisingly, was pro gay marriage, I believe, but a lot of other issues that have concerned the, especially the trans community and the gay community, he has been very conservative on. Which just I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's
he is very conservative generally, and but I can't remember. I looked up something recently. He doesn't deny that he's...
No, he doesn't.
He's just like, I won't speak
about
it.
Yeah, he doesn't talk about his sexuality.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy does music theatre. He's always like stunt cast in the music theatre shows as the, you know, the camp Wizard of Oz or something like that.
Oh, there's and a lot of
there
in Muriel's Wedding.
There was a great reference in Muriel's Wedding, yeah.
In
the stage show.
Oh, God, it's so good. So in like... Have you seen it? Did you see it, Lenny?
No, I haven't. That's what I'm
saying. I'm so glad Tom took me to see it. It
was actually how amazing
six times.
One of the best shows I've seen.
And the song, there's a song in it called Sydney, which is literally, they do it as the encore number, which every time I went, everyone gets up and dances. And they make
it was so funny singing in Melbourne because like the whole Melbourne versus Sydney thing, and it's this whole song about how good Sydney is, and not Melbourne, all the Melbourne people are like, oh, this is a really good song.
I thought it was kind of taking the piss out of Sydney. I was sort of laughing, but also embracing it and loving it.
But there's this great scene in it, where everyone's like, oh, I'm a drug addict and I don't talk to my parents and I'm a sex addict and that sort of stuff. And then there's this old drag queen that goes, I'm Ellen Jones.
And it's just the way,
I feel like there's a lot of internalized homophobia flying around.
Yeah.
Like with the people who are really strong opinions.
But again, just a shame that somebody whether he is or isn't, but somebody in a position like that has so much influence over so many Sydney voters. I mean, we don't seem to have the same culture of radio hosts having as much of an influence in Melbourne as Sydney does. Whether or not he is part of the community or not, using that platform to spread a fuckload of hate, not just about people in our community, but a lot of other minorities. Yeah. Well, that's a nice little chat we've had, the dirty laundry of all the homophobic prints.
Don't support these people.
No, don't support them. But support us.
Yes.
By doing exactly what you're doing, which is paying for your Patreon after shows.
Love you.
Thanks so much for joining us, guys. As we said, listen to the Word of the Gay. Fantastic.
Please come
podcast.
Back, guys.
We'd love to have you back.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Have us back.
And of course, we'll be back with Luke next week.
Yeah,
and we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So welcome to our after show, to our patrons.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you again
Uncut.
For subscribing to Untucked. Well, most of us would have been at Midsummer on Sunday, which was the opening carnival for the Midsummer Festival.
Most of our listeners are apparently there
because I spoke to a lot of them. Same. I felt like it. I'm very sorry for my behavior and if I was not fully coherent when you spoke to me. But it was so much was fun. So Tom, cool. You really missed out.
I know. I feel like it's genuinely one of my favorite community events
it is,
at any gay festival around the world. And I'm spewing I wasn't able to come to this one. I had just... Yeah. fractured the arm. So
just freshly fractured.
It was freshly fractured. And I'm spewing that I wasn't able to come. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to hearing all of the saucy things that happened.
It was my second ever Midsummer. Last year it was so much fun. This year just as fun.
Yeah.
The weather, the whole day, basically the weather reports are like, from the moment you open your eyes, it's going to be thunderstorms and rain. Yeah, and then it kept changing.
Should we just describe for people that don't live in Melbourne what happens, or for someone that maybe hasn't had the guts to go, what happens at Midsummer Carnival Day?
Drinking.
I don't know. I don't know how to describe what happens in
debauchery.
Carnival. So pretty much the whole queer community in Melbourne come together. They set up stalls, like sort of to promote everything queer. Yeah, really,
in summer,
which is fantastic.
What I like about it is the diversity of those stalls. So you've got things like the sports teams, the wonderful rugby teams, mm-hmm. and water polo teams and stuff. Yep. You've also got a lot of the sexual health services and mental health services. And
there's also dog shows, there's craft stalls.
Mm. So the corporate sponsors and that sort of thing. There's activities throughout the time. Yeah, so minus 18 had a big section. There's the main stage, which is bands and acts and that sort of stuff, and then the smaller stage, which is the dog shows and that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. And then it's also a BYO, which is such a rare thing for to happen these days. But it's a big BYO picnic as well. So there's lots of people with their picnic baskets and so eskies and so much booze.
So much booze. BYO. So you know, I brought my juice boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I kept trying to convince people to join me in the bar because I was we're setting up in the bar area and everyone's
I've
like,
never why? Yeah, I know. Yeah, because when you found me, I was like, why would I go here? I have got a lot of goon.
Yeah.
And I found walking around with a goon bag can make you a lot of friends.
Yeah.
I was supporting the community. I was giving my dollars away.
My dollars to Dan Murphy's.
I think I should also
all 10 of them.
I should also apologize to anyone that approached me on the day.
Just in general,
because I discovered those fucking giant sticks of potato.
Did you see the twisty
deep fried?
I want that.
Yeah, so I went back. They're like a giant skewer with a whole potato spiraled onto them, covered in MSG and salt.
Yum.
So I had about 60 of them, and people would come up to me throughout the day and be like, "Oh my god, Luke, thank you so much for like some very serious topic," and I'd be chewing on this giant potato and be like, "It's all right, sis. No, thank you." Like, so I'm sorry. It was just I had a lot of potato in me that day. Yeah. And a lot of potato on the mind.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think I saw literally every single homosexual I've ever met in my whole life.
Same.
And it was so good. Everyone is in such a good mood, so friendly. So
there is a lovely vibe that day, isn't there? I often say if you ever put on a heterosexual event with that much free booze, there would be a strong police, a very strong police presence, and they would, be really, they'd be a lot more violent. But at Carnival Day, I think it's just, our community has so much love that it is a beautiful, chill day, randoms chatting to each other. People run out of booze, so someone gives them something from their esky, it's really nice. Yeah.
I was very much like umming and ahhing whether to go because I went to a 40th night before and I wasn't feeling the best.
Party
and
animal.
Then the weather, I was like, no, it's fine. We'll go. And one of my friends was like, oh, we're at like a pre-drink thing. And I was like, sweet, cool, I'll come. There was like, everybody was already very drunk when I got there. And like one of the people that lived there was serving footy franks. And we were just like, oh, okay, cool, footy franks. They chucked them on. They forgot about them, brought them out, and they'd all split open.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And then one of my friends turned around. It was just like, I thought we were having little boys, not little girls. Oh. And I was like, oh, my God. What Jeepers. Did you just say?
I had a big pre-drinks in my house as well. There were a lot of gay men in my house, which is not an odd occurrence, it was a lot of fun. And then we pre-game pretty hard, and then we put on a beautiful breakfast spread. There were croissants, scones, fruit, lots of alcohol. So it was a lot of fun. I'm trying to think of, like, I got very drunk. I don't remember a lot of things that happened there.
I barely remember seeing you boys. If I didn't have Instagram stories, I would not.
We were very drunk at that stage. That was like when I just
JB, Raven, and I had been there pretty much since opening at like 9 whenever the first act started close at 10:30. So we had been consistently drinking the whole day because our friend was performing really early on in the day. And so by the time most homosexuals arrived, which was like post pre-drinks, we were already well into our 19th hour at this oh point.
I just remember messaging you being like, where are you? And then you sent me this very nondescript video of where you were.
There's grass and people. Tree,
and there's grass and alcohol. I was like, okay.
That narrows it down. Thanks. Oh my God. I have a flashback of waiting in line in the bathroom and just like busting. And then people and people being like, there's space over here at the urinal. And I was like, oh no, sorry. I can't use a urinal. My body won't allow it. And then people being like, no, it's okay. We'll make a human wall so no one can see you. And then it got to like five people cheering at me to come use the urinal. I had a whole support network. Very embarrassing. I think I eventually ran into a cubicle and just
waiting for the toilets at gay events is one thing we don't do better than straight people because we're all fucking.
Yeah. But one of the psychs at my work we'd queued up for so long, we got to the front of the line and he was like, we should just share a cubicle because it's better for the community if we do. And I was like, I kind of manage you. I'm not sure if I should. And he's like, and he was like, no, we'll go and we'll play swords. It'll be fun. And so me and this heterosexual psych squished into one of those little porta potties and just played swords. And he was like, Yeah, that's a decent cock.
Weird.
Thanks, man.
That was a humble brag there,
I said decent. I didn't say...
Yeah, that's decent.
This same psych, though, you might not believe this, but I had a successful romantic encounter at Midsummer.
Yeah.
In the cubicle?
Not in the cubicle with a heterosexual psych. Yes. But this same psych had come to me last week and said, mm-hmm. I think you should really meet this friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He's really, like... fit and in shape and mm-hmm. healthy, and he's really compassionate and kind.
Yeah.
And so I sort of said, generally, that's I usually go for the broken, hurtful, mean ones.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you would even suggest. don't
know me at all.
You do not know my brand.
Yeah.
But he brought that guy to. This is in the after show, right? So I can.
Name. So, this guy, names.
To Midsummer, and it was so hot that day, he took his shirt off, and then I knew, like.
And you're like, I am in love.
No, I was like, write this off. This is not the type of guy that I exist to, sort of thing. And so.
You say he had, like, a swastika tattoo or something.
Yeah, a union flag or a Confederate flag. Like, no. He was just beautiful. And so I was like, oh, forget about it. I'm just going to talk to Charlie, baby, and stuff, and just. Ignore this guy because my friends made a really, really bad call on this. And it got to like 10 o'clock right at the end of the evening. He was like, Luke, can you please just walk over that direction to one of those nondescript trees I'd sent you? And I was like, I'm not just walking into the darkness.
I've had this trick played on me before.
Yeah, fool me once. Shame on me. And he was like, no, just walk in that direction, please. Okay. And my other friend was like, please just walk over there.
Yeah.
And so I stumbled in the darkness towards this tree. And the guy was waiting there. He said, you're really like intimidating to talk to. Aww. So I haven't like interacted with you much, and I don't want to kiss you in front of all your friends, but can we make out?
And then did you bash?
Yeah. And then so we made out.
I'm Luke doing like and a random guy sitting in the tree.
Look at you with your muscle, Mary.
Yeah.
Well, then I'd spoken a lot about how 2020 is my year of celibacy. And so
how long did that last?
Voluntary.
And so he'd actually pulled one of my friends aside later in the evening and said, "Do you think Luke would like respect it if I asked him to come home?" But said we don't have to do stuff.
Wow.
And he did, and so I did. And then I forgot I had work, and so we're up to about 3 a.m. Got up at 7, put the same disgusting Midsummer outfit on, and went straight to work.
No! You stanky mess.
Open bed at 3, open at 7. Yeah. So, it was successful.
Nice.
I must say, the next day did not feel like it was a Monday.
No, I couldn't.
I was like, it's definitely a Sunday. I was like,
homophobic.
I'm glad I have a very queer-friendly boss, and she's like, have the day off. I'm not going because I was drinking with her.
No. Of course, a lot of people think that Midsummer is just one day in a park.
Oh, just the carnival.
And a parade. Yeah.
But
it's actually
not.
The largest queer arts festival in Australia. So the carnival obviously starts today, and we've got the Pride March in a few weeks, but there's a lot of stuff in the coming weeks coming up as well. Have you guys had a bit of a look through the program?
Mm.
Yes.
Of course, there's the highlight, which is our show.
Of course.
Are we the cover?
Oh, that's right. Yes.
But there's some other stuff I'm looking forward to. Leather Lungs is fantastic. I don't know if you've guys seen Leather Lungs before, but he's incredible. So he... was one of the backup singers for Adele when she
Amazing.
Toured. And it's sort of drag burlesque sort of performances with this incredible gravelly, belty kind of voice, which I think will be fantastic.
Nice.
Of course, friend of the podcast, Joel Creasy, is doing a brand new show. So this is really exciting. It's called The Boy George. And it's a play that was done by an amazing gay guy called Patrick Livesey, who it was his first piece out when he finished VCA. And it was, and I saw the original play he did at a Fringe Festival, and it's him playing Boy George in a one-man show. So, sorry, Prince George, not Boy George.
Yeah, I was like,
Prince George, so Prince William's oldest son. And it's set in a few years' time in his bedroom in Buckingham Palace, and he's this camp gay, fabulous kid.
Love it.
And the Queen's just died, and there's a constitutional crisis about the monarchy being abolished, and he's just worried about keeping his lovely cars and servants and all that sort of stuff. So Joel's bought the rights off Patrick Livesey and sort of adapted it himself. And so it's his first ever play, and it's a one-man show at Chapel of Chapel, which I think would be amazing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, really
I'm going next week.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah. So good. Have you guys got anything in the program that
The extravaganza.
The Midsummer Extravaganza. That's really exciting as well. The Midsummer Extravaganza. Yes, I'm not in that, but I produce it every year with Trevor.
It was so good last year.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
So good.
And it's a big lineup show of all the best of the best queer LGBTQIA plus performers. Normally just national ones, but we've even got international this year as well. So we've got Pangina Heels, who's of course one of the hosts of Drag Race Thailand, is performing. It's hosted by the incredible Kirsty Wiebeck, who we all love.
Love
and
Chris.
Bob Down, who I'm so excited to meet. We've also got Tom Ballard, Yana Alana, Dolly Diamond, Nath Valvo, Mal Buttle, Jack Vigen, of course, just before he goes into the Eurovision competition. Rachel Dunham and the wonderful comedian Cassie Workman as well performing. So it's going to be a huge lineup. That's at Hamer Hall. Tickets at artscentremelbourne.com.au. Plug there.
What a
But there's other stuff that I'm not in that's good too. I don't know, the AIDS Memorial Garden Walking Tour, which is currently sold out, but jump on the website and keep an eye on it because they might add another one. Who knows? But that's definitely something to keep an eye out for if you can get tickets to it. And Burlesque. Have you guys heard much about Burlesque?
Oh, yeah.
This is a new group that are bears doing burlesque. And the whole concept is sort of about fighting body shaming. There's some wonderful people in it. Jemima Handful's part of it. Dina Curie. And some wonderful other performers. So it's sort of a bit of a lineup show with a few group numbers thrown in there as well. And it's sort of about being proud in your body in a camp and fabulous way. So they've got, you know, the guts out, the jock straps, the heels, the, you know, big wigs and all that sort of stuff. Very
amazing.
Camp, yeah.
So exciting.
And there is one other thing I will plug that I am in, which is my solo show, Thomas Jasper's Is Revolting, which I decided to do because I host a trivia night every week, which I've been doing for 5 years.
And really? Haven't mentioned before.
I haven't mentioned it for ages. But at the start of every trivia every week, I tell them about my dirty antics from the weekend.
Yeah.
And stuff that I probably don't even always tell on this podcast. It's a little bit, you know,
scandalous.
Detailed. And I was like, oh, I've got so many dirty, filthy stories from the Melbourne gay scene. And I'm never going to be, you know, on the project, for example. So I think it's fine for me to get away. You know, it's not going to ruin my career if I tell these filthy stories. So it's just an hour of dirty stories from the Melbourne gay scene, which I'm scared shitless about, but also very excited to be doing it. Breaking my arm has really given me that extra 5 minutes I needed for the show. So that's one night only. It's on Sunday, the 9th of February at Evie's Disco Diner. It's at 6 p.m., which I know is a really homophobic time on a Sunday for a show. So I'm sorry about that. But I left it too late to book a venue. So you can grab a ticket for that one too at midsummer.org. You boys are all coming. So.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Well, also there's Max Lawrence is doing a beautiful like orchestral performance. Oh? With a few friends of ours, the Forest Collective, which is Alex Morris, Matt Herson, and Evan Lawson. But he's like this really young songwriter who's a big fan of our show.
Oh, bless.
We're seeing a play about called The Campaign tomorrow night.
Okay.
About, I think, the decriminalization of homosexuality in Tasmania.
Oh, wow.
So, laugh a minute. Comedy riot, I've heard.
Wow.
And then seeing Pearl, seeing Tammy Brown.
Oh, my God, amazing.
Seeing Pearl at Homo Erotica with Ruby Slippers. So, I think It's going to be
there's so much stuff on. And there's some stuff we haven't even mentioned. Like, there's just so much stuff. Please pick up a program, look through it. You will definitely find something that you want to see.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening.
Get among yeah. We'll
see you on the 7th.
See you on the 7th. Yes, we will.
Yes.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.